So the talk is an attempt to revive the work of Friedrich Nietzsche, his going back about 140 years to his Birth of Tragedy. It's a juvenile work in the sense that he was a very young man when he wrote it, and also in the sense it's full of youthful exaggerations. But what makes his work, I think, interesting and perhaps relevant for the contemporary moment is he sees works of tragic art as performing a really incredible philosophical trick. Works of art, tragic art, have this capacity to bring to view what he sees as the fundamentally tragic structure of human life. He believes this deeply. He thinks if there were truth in advertising, when we come into the world, we should be greeted by a great sign that says, this is going to hurt. So the tragic work of art turns out to be a place where we satisfy our craving for truth, but without being crushed by it. And he believes this. He takes this seriously. Some of his more famous lines are, we possess art lest we perish of the truth. Or I love this one, without music, life would be a mistake.
Without music, life is a mistake. I think that's a sentiment a lot of people can get behind. You're going to be using music in your talk. The piece of music you have chosen is by the jazz icon Illinois Jacquette. How did you choose that piece?
So Nietzsche would hate American jazz, but one of the great things about the American musical tradition is it exemplifies Nietzsche's view of tragedy. So beginning with the sorrow songs on the plantations, going through country blues, jazz, all the way up to, and I'll reveal my age with this, the music I listened to in the 80s, Black Flag or Public Enemy, we have a musical tradition that's absolutely brilliant at documenting the tragic dimension of life. It's mired in tragedy, and it's incredibly beautiful. And so Illinois Jacquette, for me, it's an interesting song. It's I find it heartbreaking. The song is You're My Thrill. You've probably heard the Billie Holiday version. What's interesting about Illinois Jacquette is this example of a few things. One is it's an example of what we call absolute music. So for Nietzsche, lyrics almost always pollute music. The real activity is in the music itself. And the song is it's incredibly sad, but it's incredibly beautiful. And it shows this sort of balancing act that Nietzsche thinks is essential to the successful work of art, the work of art that allows us to figure out how to flourish in this world. It's also a wonderful musical example of friendship. So the guitarist is Kenny Burrell. He's been on about 300 jazz recordings. You've heard him somewhere. And he sets up the song the way a friend would, an invitation to kind of confess. And the guitar lapses into silence for much of the song, and it just appears to sort of sustain or offer encouragement to the saxophone, which produces the sort of tragic content of the song. But it's a perfect example of how a piece of music can be both heartbreaking and produce a tremendous amount of aesthetic pleasure, give us a kind of make it bearable in some sense.
Nietzsche extrapolated those musical ideas to all forms of art. How did he do that?
Well, he has a very strange view. There's no way to make it coherent, but he believes that all art comes, the mother of all the arts is music. He was writing in the context of the, it was about 1864 when he wrote this book. And up until that point, it was usually thought that all the arts come from poetry, from the imagistic aspect of poetry, you get painting, the painterly dimension of poetry, from its rhyme and meter, we get music, from its stories, we get narrative, and hence eventually the novel. And Nietzsche wants to turn that on his head. What's fundamental to all great art is its musical element. And he thinks that all successful art can be reduced to its musicality, the chorus in drama, style in poetry or voice, and the way in which, in the context of art, even language takes on a kind of musical perfection.
John Gibson, we're looking forward to the talk. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.